Welcome to the Mentorship Matters podcast on the Quill and Sword, presented by the JAG Corps Leadership Center. In this episode, Colonel Rob Abbott, the Leadership Center Director, interviews Major General Joseph Berger, the 22nd Deputy Judge Advocate General for the U.S. Army JAG Corps. This episode was recorded in Charlottesville, Virginia, at the Judge Advocate General's Legal Center and School. Please enjoy.
We're extremely excited to have the 22nd Deputy Judge Advocate General of the United States Army, Major General Joe Berger, here with us today. Good morning, sir.
Rob, thanks. It is, first of all, great to be in Charlottesville. Few places I'd rather be, and it definitely beats the Pentagon as a day to escape.
Awesome, sir. Well, we're glad you're here. We appreciate you joining us this morning to discuss leadership, a topic that I know is near and dear to you. As you know, the Mentorship Matters podcast is designed to kind of tap into leaders, let them express their thoughts on leadership throughout their careers, things that have helped them get to where they are, and more importantly, how has it helped them grow and develop internally with their own leadership philosophies and styles, and building their teams to be more cognizant of what's going on internally to the team itself. One of the things we try to do with these, sir, is let our listeners get to know you. So that's one of the goals behind today's podcast. And hopefully while they're getting to know you, they improve their own leadership style, sir.
Well, Rob, I appreciate, first of all, the introduction, and second of all, that as a roadmap. You know, with the name Mentorship Matters, we're going to start talking about leadership. But as we've discussed, we're going to come back with a follow-on podcast to really talk about nuts and bolts and tools of how you turn that into mentorship, how you leverage the mentorship component of being an effective leader at Echelon. And so I look forward to our conversation. I look forward to sharing my thoughts, and I look forward to folks getting to know me a little better. And hopefully through their feedback to this, I get to know some of our team a little better as well.
Sir, I appreciate those introductory thoughts. You know, we've seen firsthand the emphasis that you personally place on developing leaders and increasing mentorship opportunities throughout our Corps. Why is developing our legal professionals into better leaders so important to you? And what role do you think mentorship plays in that development?
So, Rob, I'll start with the second part of that question, and that is the role that mentorship plays. There's a waterfall effect. If my mentor helps me, and I help those I mentor, they in turn help those they mentor, and all of a sudden you have this pyramid that starts with one mentor at the top and has this huge wide base growing emerging leaders who are getting the guidance they need to grow and ultimately succeed. In its own way, you've got to start with mentorship, at least framing it that way, because mentorship is the accelerant of leadership. But back to the first part, why is developing better leaders important? We understand sort of the trickle-down effect and the framework for it. Better leaders simply build more cohesive teams, and more cohesive teams mean you have a better chance of accomplishing your mission. And at the end of the day, our task as an Army is to fight and win our nation's wars, and whatever role we play in that as a team, leaders facilitate that. Leadership, mentorship as a form and as a component of leadership, empowers that development. But that development's got a couple components that hopefully we'll flesh out today. There's the example of the leader. There's the necessary training you have to do. Coaching is a part of that. Mentorship is a part of that. Practical experience. Right? If you haven't done it, if you haven't tried it, if you haven't failed a few times and built up some scar tissue, then it's just theoretical. And then you have to be reflective. You have to be emotionally aware and emotionally intelligent. You have to have a component of self-development that propels you to the next level, so that you can bring others with you.
No, sir, I think that's absolutely spot on. I mean, when we talk about developing leaders, emotional awareness is so important to what we're doing. But I think a lot of leaders have trouble seeing themselves. So what do you think about how someone can self-develop, as you put it, sir?
Fundamental to self-development is self-awareness. And there is a necessity for some emotional intelligence in there. Do you see yourself the way others see you? We can all be guilty of overselling ourselves. We can all be guilty also of underselling ourselves. And there's risk with both of those. There's an arrogance in the overselling. There's a humility, but perhaps a detrimental humility sometimes in the underselling. As a leader, how are you self-aware? How are you emotionally intelligent? Well, you need to ensure, first of all, that your thoughts, your actions, your emotions all align with both your internal personal standards and what you've articulated to your team. We've heard the phrase, does your video match your audio? Is what you say match what you do? Is what you do match what's important to you fundamentally? But the self-development piece and that self-awareness piece that drives the self-development piece hinges on whether or not you can tell if there's a disconnect, or just as critically, if you're open to input from others. Are you open to the input that can help inform your self-awareness, to help your self-development.
Sir, as you know, there's hundreds of books, articles, podcasts, TED Talks on leadership. We define it in Army Doctrine, you know, specifically ADP 6-22 says that leadership is the activity of influencing others by providing purpose, direction, and motivation to accomplish the mission or improve the organization. It seems so simple on its face, and it does not appear that complex at all. But when we break it down, there's still some leaders out there who aren't getting it. There's still some folks out there that are having some trouble. So why is leadership so hard? And what would you say the best tools are for effective leadership?
We're going to start with what leadership is about, and you just talked about it. Leadership is about people. So if you don't understand people, you can't get leadership right. Well, the only way you can get to know people is by investing time. The quick answer to your question is leadership is hard because it requires an incredibly effective use of our single most valuable resource, and that's our time. And it's the one resource you can't get any more of. You're limited in what you have. So how you allocate it becomes critically. So if as a leader, or if as an individual, you can manage your time effectively, you become empowered to be a better leader. It's not necessarily intuitively obvious, but when you think about how the best leaders are described, whether they're leaders you've worked for, whether they're leaders you've read about, whether they're leaders in our core that you hear people talking about, I guarantee you, one of the most common threads through all of them is they prioritize their people and they show that in the time they spend with them. So at its core, good leadership starts with effective time management.
So one of the things that we get from the field all the time is everyone is so busy, so inundated with daily tasks, their missions, you know, our nonstop requirements from our clients and our commanders, and providing that principal counsel, premier legal services takes a lot of effort. You're busier than probably anyone in the field. How do you find time to do this? What do you have to sacrifice, sir?
You have to assume some risk. I like to think about it as the speed of trust. Stephen Covey, a number of years ago, wrote a great book called The Speed of Trust. And there is so much you can take from that. But you also have to be willing to pivot and to change what your plan is. Driving down this morning, I had two podcasts lined up that I wanted to listen to, really to get my head in the game for today. I got about 15 minutes into my drive. I had an SJA call, and we spent the next 90 minutes talking through some challenges that SJA was working through. Wasn't my plan this morning, but they needed some help, right? And the resource I had to give them was time to share my experiences. So we did that. But let me go back to how, as a general trend or as a general rule, I try to give effect to making that happen. And that is the speed of trust, right? If I start with the presumption that I can trust you, if I start with that presumption of noble intent, which I've heard recently, and I think that's just an absolutely great way to think about it, I can save a lot of time, and I'll walk you through. Now, some people would say, wow, right? Your presumption is you trust somebody you don't even know. That's pretty risky. Okay, right? But we take risk every day. I took risk this morning, get behind the wheel in my car to drive down here. We take risk crossing the street. Why do we do it? We do it because we have to do it. In life, you got to take some risks. By taking that risk, what I sacrifice is hesitancy, right? And I'm going to use an example that's a very real-world example for me. And that is, I needed a new XO, a new AXO in the front office. And so the XO came to me and she said, hey, sir, let me find three candidates for you. I'll line up some interviews and you can talk to them. And I turned to her and I said, nope. I said, I do not have the time for that. I said, what I need you to do is find a new AXO. She didn't have anybody in mind, but she reached out to two of her trusted agents. They gave us a name. We've hired that person, and it's working out pretty darn well. I saved a whole bunch of time. The XO saved a whole bunch of time. We went to two people we trusted, and the speed of trust gave us a great solution to a real-world problem. What's the leadership component of that? I empowered somebody to make a decision. They, in turn, empowered somebody to make a decision. And everybody won.
So you talk about the speed of trust and how important that is in everything you're doing as a leader. What other tools do you think are important for a leader that you would recommend?
Speed of trust, time management, two very, very critical things. One facilitates the other. The other thing is you got to care. Caring is a tool in your toolbox. It's not enough to say you care. You have to demonstrate it. Takes us back to the comment about, does your audio match your video? And if it doesn't, you're not there. Now, you need a sense of humor on top of that. So we're up to four components, right? We've talked about time management. We've talked about speed of trust, how that can help you with time management. We've talked about actually demonstrating you care. touched on, and we'll come back to as the opportunity presents, how you do that with a sense of humor and why that's necessary.
Sir, I think all that makes a lot of sense. Again, when you're thinking about leadership, though, and oftentimes people say you have to care. You have to show that you care. You can't just say that you care. But how do you believe a leader can do that? How do they effectively show someone they care about them?
It is the practical and the nuts and bolts that really gives effect to this. So I can say I care about you. If I don't take the time to get to know you, if I don't take the time then to invest in helping you improve, if I don't take the time to help highlight you to other leaders, if I don't take the time to do any of those tasks, then all I've done is talked about caring for you, but I haven't actually cared for you.
So you've been around the Army a few days. I think you're over 30 years now. Is that correct, sir?
It is, actually. 31 and counting. Amazing. Never thought I'd be here a third that long.
Well, sir, I'm guessing during that time you've served with some exceptional leaders and you've had quite a few mentors that help you get to where you are today. In your opinion, what traits made them exceptional?
It is great and empowering to read about leaders, but it is seeing it in action where you see and learn, I think, the most. We learn from the good and we learn from the bad, but let's talk about the good. So that list of attributes, it is neither rocket science nor brain surgery. Collectively, if you put 10 people around a room, you'd end up with a Venn diagram. I'm a visual guy. I like pictures, right? You'd end up with a Venn diagram that have a lot of things. But I would tell you some of the things that really stick out with me is they've all had a fearlessness about telling the truth. They've been willing to expose their weaknesses and share their failures. And they've been willing to admit when they didn't know everything and be open to input. So that, I think, has been probably the strongest trend I've seen in the best leaders for whom I have worked.
One of the things that JAG Corps has now started, and you're an architect of the plan itself, is a subordinate feedback program. You know, one of the things as our leaders travel throughout the Corps, they often are told, you know, hey, I don't have a voice. And now we're giving them that opportunity, sir. Why is it so important to you as our DJAG to give these subordinates a voice? Why does that matter to you, sir?
So it matters, first of all, because it's important to them. But it matters even more selfishly because I can't see myself. Yes. You can't fully see yourself. And we have a system that relies on top down, at least for the OER system, NCOER system, DP map, right? Whatever evaluation tool we're using, it's a senior evaluating subordinate. Yes. What you're missing in that input is what do you get from peers and what do you get from subordinates? And so we need a tool that lets us better see it. By giving our subordinates the opportunity to provide us direct feedback in the safety of non-attribution. And there's a critical piece to that about whether or not somebody ought to own the comment. Right? If we have a leader who's challenged, it's not unnatural for the subordinate to say, boy, I really wish I could tell him this, but he's not necessarily going to be receptive to that. If I can find a way to get that information from the subordinate to the senior without risk of retaliation so the senior can better see themselves to then fix themselves, that's success. That, I think, is what our subordinate feedback program can empower us collectively as a team to do to build better leaders.
Sir, and following up on that, as leaders receive this feedback from their teams, what do you expect them to do with it?
There's a mandate to act. There is an absolute mandate, again, to turn it into an action verb. Some leaders know that they've got shortfalls. They just don't know what they are. So they're actively looking for that feedback. Some leaders are already there, and they're just looking for the information. That's great. Some aren't that self-aware, and I'm not always that self-aware, and I'm not patting myself on the back here, right? We've got leaders who aren't, and there have been times, certainly, when I haven't been that self-aware. What do I expect leaders to do? I expect leaders to act. I expect leaders to say, okay, this is the identified shortfall. Let me stop, first of all, and engage in some self-reflection. Was I even aware of this? If I wasn't, what did I miss? If I was, why hadn't I already taken action? Do I need an additional tool or resource? If so, then my leader owes me that. If my leader expects me as a leader at Echelon to engage in subordinate feedback and engage in self-development, they owe me tools to help put that into effect. Again, the ACT mandate. I expect that. Then you've got to invest the time. And that's the critical piece. So I expect leaders to act. I expect leaders to ask for resources. And then I expect leaders to take all of that, invest the time, and turn it into progress. At the end of that whole cycle, I expect them to sit back and reflect a little bit. Did I improve? Did this make me a better leader? Has it changed my team? You got to have a measure of effectiveness, and that requires some self-reflection.
So one of the most important things about being a good leader is recognizing that we're all human, and occasionally even the best of us will make a mistake. When that mistake is made, how do you resolve it? What you learn from it really matters. Do you have any examples you'd like to share with us about a mistake you might have made?
Oh, I've got a stack of them, Rob. And that is truly what makes us humans, right? It really is. And it is what makes it so necessary for us as leaders to continue to pause, to reflect, and to engage in constant growth and development. So let me tell you the true story about Chris. Chris was one of my trial counsel when I was a chief of justice. Chris could do anything better than anybody else in my office. And but for the fact that I had a little more time in the Army and had some knowledge that he didn't have, Chris would have lapped me. Chris was the proverbial easy button, and that was a bad thing. It was a bad thing because as a leader, I pressed the easy button. And I convinced myself that it was faster, more efficient, better for the organization, that Chris was getting stuff done, and that I wasn't holding everybody else in the office to an accountable standard, that I wasn't investing in training them, that I wasn't investing in getting them where they needed to be, where they deserved to be as future leaders. So I just kept pressing the easy button. And one day the easy button walked into my office and he said, "Hey, sir, I'm resigning." So what do you mean? "You're fantastic. You can do anything." He goes, "Sir, I work 2, if not 3 or 4 times harder than anybody in this office. I get paid the same." He goes, "It's killing me."
What's the incentive?
That's exactly it. The good news is Chris didn't completely leave us. He went into the reserves, went on to be very successful as a commander, as a colonel. But I will tell you, in my mind every day, I ask myself as I task anybody for anything, am I Chrising this? It is my check, right? There's a little guy on my shoulder that is Chris that whispers in my ear, "Don't do it. You're making it the easy button." It goes back to the discussion about time. I didn't take the time to do what was right then, and it cost us, at least partially, a great officer and just a wonderful individual. What do you learn from, and then what do you do with that experience?
So, you know, this is a podcast, so here as we close this thing out, I have to ask you, what are you listening to? I know you're a podcast guy on drive sometimes. What are you listening to, sir?
So, interestingly enough, and this is the counter answer, right now, I am listening to as much silence as I can. When I get in my car in the morning, radio's off, and I have 30 minutes of silence as I drive to work. That is truly my quiet time. My evening commute is usually when I'm wrapping up the day's business. On a longer trip like today, 2.5 hours of quiet would be really wonderful, but I can make better use of that time to catch up on some of the podcasts I do like to listen to. Some of the things I'm listening to. West Point's got a great series inside West Point that really gets at some of the intellectual challenges of the Army. And I highly recommend that. It goes without saying that I'm going to shamelessly advertise for the incredible series that the LCS has put together. It started 4 years ago with one episode of Battlefield Next, right? And now we have NSL Unscripted. The Crim Law Department puts great stuff together. And although I think you're lowering the bar by bringing me in, we've got this great Mentorship Matters podcast series. Those are all great tools. But sometimes I like to step away from the uniform. And as a leader, what I have found when we go back to that trait of good leaders, one of the ones I didn't hit on was all those leaders could tell a story, right? And they could convey through a story values, purpose, all of these really powerful things. The Moth Radio Hour. It's one of my favorite podcasts because it is people telling stories about nothing that has to do with the Army, nothing that has to do with the JAG Corps, with the law. It's just people telling stories about life. And I love listening to those. One, because it's just a great story, and there's very little in this world that matches a well-told story. But also because as a leader, I think it helps empower me to better be able to convey what I need to convey.
Sir, again, we're always looking for ways to improve what we do here and how to better develop our leaders so that they not only can become better leaders themselves, but care for their teammates better. What parting words would you have for the audience on ways they can become more impactful leaders or teammates?
So, Rob, I would start with two simple words: listen more. Why those two words? Why listen more? If you listen more, you'll understand more. If you understand more, you can make better use of the time you have left. It takes an investment. It takes time to listen more. You'll win. Your team will win. Certainly the individual you're listening to will win. And again, we hit on it earlier on, but I've got to come back to it. You got to keep your sense of humor. We are humans. We are going to fail. And if we can't laugh at ourselves, if we can't take stock in the reality that we're going to stumble, if we can't sit back and not laugh at people, but laugh with people. But if you keep that sense of humor, it'll remind you at the end of the day what's important and what's not.
Sir, I think that sums it up. I appreciate your time today. Thank you for coming here and spending your morning with us. I know how important our people are to you, and I know how much mentorship and leadership matter to you, sir. We look forward to having you back here in the future to talk more about mentorship. Have a wonderful day.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of the Mentorship Matters podcast presented by the Jag Corps Leadership Center. For more information and resources, please visit the Jag Corps Leadership Center website. And remember, mentorship matters because people matter, and you can be the difference.